The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
I'm joined by Ben Yuster, the CEO of RX Properties. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you, Angie. It's lovely to be here, and I'm honored to be your first guest in your new premises.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, you've just released your new results, and it looked wonderful.
Indeed. Yeah, we're very happy with the results. I think we've posted some strong results for the year, and all the hard work is starting to pay off, which is great.
Yeah. So what has been the major impact on the property market over the recent short to medium term past period?
Yeah, I think the last few years has been quite tough. Obviously, coming out of COVID for commercial property has been quite difficult. But I must say we've definitely seen an improvement in rentals. We've seen an improvement in the number of leases being concluded, also property acquisitions. So that's a good thing. So the market is definitely on the up.
Yeah. So considering the volatility experienced recently and what was your philosophy in overcoming these challenges?
Sure. I think firstly and foremost, with the interest rate environment having been quite high in the recent months and years, we've really had to run a tight ship. So that's really starts there, to really run a tight ship, to make sure you control your expenses very well, make sure you negotiate your contracts very well. And the last couple of years, escalations on rental agreements have been very low, lower than we've seen in previous or pre-COVID times. And therefore, that's been quite a challenge.
Yeah.
But I think managing those expenses and income streams very well has helped. And then also from an acquisition perspective, making sure that we buy at the right price and making sure that we really investigate and do good due diligences on these assets when we acquire them to make sure they pan out as you had intended.
Yeah. So tell us how this significant milestone of a growth rate in excess of 18.6% was achieved and what was the key drivers behind this?
Great. Yeah. So the 18.64% is the total return to the shareholder. So this is growth on the share price as well as your income return on that share price. So we gave an income yield of about 8.6%, having paid out 75% of the distribution. If we had paid out 100%, it would have been 11.5. And then we had another 9.3% increase in the share price. So that gives you that 18.6% total return to the shareholder.
Yeah. So how would you compare the portfolio increase of 35% of just over $1 billion to roughly $4.2 billion from $3.1 billion to the growth of 18.6%? What key factors were at play? And in hindsight, how could this 35% have caused a higher total return for the company? Could it be as a result of the CapEx expenditure or the development costs or combination of other factors? So what other factors are these?
Yeah, thanks. So they're not actually related.
Mm.
They are really two different things. The 18.64% is the total return to the shareholder on their share price. So that's the money they receive back in terms of the income portion as well as the capital growth in their share. The 35% increase in portfolio value is really a significant milestone for us. It's the first year that RX have grown its portfolio by more than $1 billion in a year. So it's a great achievement. And that's really down to one, having achieved quite a lot of organic growth within the portfolio with some capital projects like the Clip-On that we are building next to Maroua Mall as an example. But also not, obviously the big acquisition that we made in Walvis Bay, which is the Dunes Mall. So if you really wanted to compare, it's probably better to compare the portfolio growth of 35% and the revenue growth of 27%, which is more relatable. Whilst they are not entirely relatable, they're much more closer to each other. And that also makes sense given that the Dunes revenues have only accounted for 11 months of the 12 months financial period.
Mm. So how do you anticipate to improve on this figure for the next financial year?
So we are in a very big strategic growth period. So we are looking at further acquisitions. But I must say, we don't just want to buy the assets for the sake of it. It's really got to be strategic assets where we can see long-term income streams for our stakeholders. So definitely from a growth perspective, you know, we are looking at those acquisitions. But also internally, we are busy with a number of projects We're building a new phase next to Marua Mall that we call the Clip-On that will bring in new restaurants, outside restaurants, which I think the public will enjoy. So that will bring some further revenue. Also, we're busy with other projects, which include solar. We are busy with the first shopping center in Goriangkap, which we are building along with the guys in Safland. And therefore, also organic growth from lease income will help us grow this figure beyond this.
Yes. So how would you compare the local property growth in Heald according to your results with the local and international markets? And what hurdles did you experience in branching out internationally?
Okay, yeah. So we've been in Eastern Europe or Croatia since 2018. I think it's been a very interesting investment for us internationally. And in the last 2 years, it's been an interesting time as inflation was a lot higher than everyone anticipated and was used to in first world territories. They do say inflation is a property or property owner's friend. So that inflation has really helped us increase the yield on that investment. And we're seeing double digit or near double digit yields on that investment, which is really good. So the yields in internationally and locally has actually been a lot more closer than what we've been used to. Normally your yields in that sort of territories was around 6-7%. If you're lucky, 8%, whereas your yields locally was 9.5-10%. However, your cost of funding is obviously quite a lot cheaper there as well, so the margin was quite a bit higher. So those yields have been very similar in the last year or so with inflation. But I must say, as we are now going back to normalized levels of inflation, you are likely to see that differential coming through again between the international yields being a little bit lower versus the emerging market yield like Namibia being a little bit higher.
Yeah. So how did your strategy consider the possibility of political unrest amidst election campaigning to still ensure that positive growth was attained?
Yes, I think one of the real benefits we have of being property owners in Namibia is that we are in a very stable political environment. So we are aware of the risk, but we don't deem it a major risk. And I think that's been proven over a number of years with very stable elections. So we are sort of aware of it, but from a strategy perspective, we are more focused on looking at where we can diversify geographically, making sure that the assets we either build or acquire has a strong tenant mix and a long-term income generation potential.
Yeah. So on the macroeconomic scale, these factors normally tend to cause buyer and investor uncertainty, which did not seem to affect the RX investments. Why might this be?
Look, I think the property market has been a very interesting market. We've come from a recession period from 2017 up to COVID and then the last couple of years. And the sentiment was really not great for any company or person wanting to buy property. But we've seen that sentiment change, and I do want to say change considerably or materially in the last 12 to 18 months, which is a great thing. And it means that we've now, we've bottomed out in the cycle and we're starting to lift that, you know, in that cycle again. So the property fundamentals is actually starting to make a lot of sense. We're seeing a lot of changes, though, in land prices, obviously with some of the hype from the oil and gas sector. However, some of those prices are inflated and therefore we are quite careful and making sure that we really do our due diligences and pay the right price for a property.
Ben, when we consider short-term challenges, what are some of the main aspects to consider and how did RX overcome these while keeping a steady head on the strategy to attain such positive results?
No, thank you. So those short-term challenges was really inflation and high interest rates, as well as lease escalations not being where we would like them to be. So that really meant we had to really manage our expenses well, make sure that our expenses remain with intact, but also when we acquire assets, try and acquire them at good yields. Unfortunately, when you are acquiring decent assets, you have to take a long-term view. So even with Dunes, as an example, we bought it at a 9.5% yield, where our cost of funding was higher than that, and therefore for the first year you're underwater. However, we are in a long-term property asset class, and therefore in year 2 and 3 it will start to make quite a bit more difference from a, at least from a distributable income perspective.
Yeah. So did Oryx benefit in any way under the creation of the buyer's market with the turmoil expected and the drop in property prices over the past financial year?
Yeah, so we've only done that one major acquisition as well as some land. So I can't say that we've majorly benefited. I think we've done a very good transaction with Dunes, and I think it was a transaction that was a win-win for both the seller and the buyer. I think the maybe the guys in from a personal capacity has been able to, you know, not looking at a specific yield, has been able to take a lot more longer views and buy bargains. But I also don't feel that it's necessarily a buyer's market at the moment. I think the tables have started to turn, and therefore, you know, it is really, you know, coming up. I think good teams should come up with options where you have a win-win situation for both the buyer and the seller, so that both parties walk away with a good transaction.
Yeah. So just the last question, what golden piece of advice would you impart on the upcoming property owner or property company that they can implement immediately based on your experience over the past year?
Okay. I think firstly, given what's happening at the coastal areas with the oil and gas, is to try and see through the hype. I think obviously getting involved in those areas is a good thing, but it's trying to really, when you look at assets, when you build assets, really understand the income streams of those assets thoroughly, do a good due diligence, and make sure that that perceived income stream is realizable. I think that's it's a key thing, so that you don't pay too much for the property. But secondly, also as properties start to get more expensive, is to consider partnerships. You know, we've done wonderfully with partnerships in the last 12 to 18 months, where often, you know, different partners with different objectives can come up with great projects. And then also, if you're becoming a big player in the commercial property space, is to join entities such as an industry body, the NPA, Namibia Property Association, to make a difference and to help us modernize the legality or the legal system with regards to property and protecting our members' interests.
Ben, thank you so much. It was lovely having you in studio.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.